Today we celebrate the most important day in history, the most important moment in history. It's not that Jesus died, it's that he rose. He's back to life. The grave is empty. Death did not win. That is the greatest victory we have, and we have hope. Hope is alive because we have eternity. We have a hope of spending forever with our Savior because of what he did on the cross. He redeemed mankind back into himself. Praise the Lord. And whether you're following Jesus for many years, anybody 30 plus years following Jesus, 50 plus years following Jesus, 60, I'm going to wean you out, 70 years, 80 years, 85 years, all right, 80 years, almost 85, she's saying, that's Ruth. Listen, no matter how long you've been following the Lord, and maybe you're here today, and you're scratching your head saying, why did they make me come? Why did they invite me here? Why am I here today? I'm not a religious person, I don't know why I'm here. I'm here to tell you today, you're here to figure things out. You're here to figure things out because the Lord Jesus is calling you to himself. And this day matters, not just for those of us who have followed Jesus for a while. It matters for those of you who are trying to figure this out. This is the greatest news that we can ever share. And we should not only be excited about it on Easter Sunday. This is life-changing news. It doesn't change next week from this week or the week prior from this week. It is still the same good news. It's just the day that the church recognizes that he is raised. Easter is not just something we celebrate. It's not a day that, it's not just a holiday on the calendar that we get together and we have breakfast and we do some fun things. No, Easter is something that changes everything. It changes everything that we know. Last week, if you were here, if not, you're not going to be lost. But last week we saw that Jesus didn't just drift toward the cross. It wasn't by accident that he arrived at the cross. He moved forward toward it. Intentionally, purposefully, he moved toward the cross. He saw the cost. He knew what it was going to cost. He knew what he was going to endure. He felt the weight of sin, and he still went anyway. And not alone, church, is enough for praise and honor to his name. If Jesus' story were to end at the cross, guess what happens? Death still wins. Sin still wins. The grave still holds power, and we are without hope. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we have a reason to have hope, because the grave does not hold him anymore. We all know that that's not how the story ended. It didn't end with Jesus in the tomb, and that was it. Today, we gather to celebrate this simple truth, that Jesus didn't just go to the cross. No, he finished what he came to do. He finished what he came to do. And if you have your Bible this morning, would you go ahead and open it with me to Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. It will be on the overhead as well. Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. It says this: But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb. Now, who is they? Let's go and let's get some context here. If we go back to chapter 3 and we start at verse 50, it says this: Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and he wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in the tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laying. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. So now this is where we pick up. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb. The women, they went to the tomb. taking their spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Remember, we just read that it says they saw how he was laid in the tomb. They remember the direction he was laying, how it was laid out. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and they bowed and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. As you look at this moment this morning, we see these two women are going to the tomb. They're going to do their funeral duties, burial duties, because they had to take a break because of the Sabbath. And so they're sitting there expecting to walk that morning to the tomb and expecting to find Jesus' body still laid exactly how it was. They watched him die. They saw him on the cross. They saw what happened to him. They saw where he was laid. So I can just about say that they are not coming to the tomb this morning with much hope. They're not approaching the tomb with hope of anything other than doing their burial services. They are coming to grieve. They are coming to finish what needed to be done. And they are coming to face what they believe is the end of the story. Because that's what death does. Death seems final. When someone dies, it feels final. It feels complete. There's nothing that we can do about it. It literally leaves us feeling like there is nothing that we can do but carry the weight of it and learn how to live with what has been lost. And that's the weight that they carry as they walk to the tomb. They come ready to mourn, ready to process what has taken place, and ready to face what they believe is their final chapter. But when they arrive, they do not find it as they expected to find it. The stone has already been rolled away. The tomb is no longer sealed. And instead of finding a body, they are met with a message that completely changes what they thought was true. He is not here. He has risen. He has risen. Everything Jesus moved toward, everything that it cost him through this series as we've walked through this, and still today, I can tell you, it is not the end. There is hope. And I wonder this morning, do you have that same hope? Do you carry that same hope? Our first point this morning, the cross was not the end. When Jesus went to the cross, everything about that moment made it look like defeat, like his message was not going any further. It made it look like it was finalized, it was ended, not going anywhere. The crowd that worshiped him and was bringing him in to Jerusalem was the same crowd that turned on him moments later. The disciples at this point, they are scattered. They are in a hiding. And Jesus' body was placed in a tomb. From every human perspective, this looked final. Like the story had come to an end, complete. But what looked like the end was never actually the end. In fact, I would submit to you, because the cross was never meant to stand alone, it's always pointing us towards something greater. And that is a risen Savior, sins covered, washed white as snow, and that relationship that got severed in the garden with Adam and Eve and God has now been made whole. That's a big deal this morning, church. That's a very big deal this morning. Scripture makes it very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, Paul writes that if Christ has not been raised, our faith is futile. What does that mean? That means if the story ends in the grave, then everything we believe falls apart. Now, I'm going to go on a little tangent here. I almost played this video today, but I didn't. Some of you may not like the source that I'm going to quote, but that's okay. Babylonian Bee, they're a satirical news site. And this morning they posted what the disciples did if Jesus was actually dead. And so they had a meeting out in the wilderness. And they said, here's what we're going to do. Jesus is dead. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go break the tomb open. We're going to steal his body. We're going to tell everybody he rose again, and everybody's cheering, all the disciples, and this isn't true, by the way, okay? Just follow me here. There's a funny point to it. And they're all celebrating. This is a great idea, great idea. Then the disciple who had the brilliant idea to do this raises hands cheering and says, and we're all going to be, what did he say? We're all going to be, It's an adjective. It defines the word that I'm about to say. Brutally murdered. We're all going to be murdered because we're spreading this message. And the excitement all of a sudden went to zero. None of the disciples were about that anymore. That wasn't the idea. Now, if you read in Matthew, the soldiers went to the priest and told them what had taken place. And this is the story that was actually come up with. They paid the guards off, and they said, tell this story. We will help tell this story. So when the Romans find out about it and ask us, this story will satisfy their curiosity. And Matthew tells us that this story is still believed largely by the Jews today. They have missed their Messiah. They have missed the risen Savior. Have missed that the cross paid for sin and that the resurrection proved it because they didn't believe in the resurrection. If Jesus had remained in the grave, then sin would still have power over our life. Death would still have the final, complete word, and hope would be so far out of reach, we would have nothing worth living for. But he did not stay in the grave. And because he rose, everything that looked final was overturned. It was all put on its head. And what seemed like defeat became the very place where victory actually began. The resurrection changes everything. The resurrection changes everything. The empty tomb is not just something that we acknowledge. It's not something that we say, that's a great idea and that feels good and it's something to sell. This is not fake. There is confirmation. There are over witnesses that what Jesus accomplished on the cross was complete when he walked out of that grave. It confirms that sin was paid for. Amen. It was paid for. Death was defeated, and the work of salvation is finished. Now it's up to us. What are we going to do? It is not symbolic. It is not partial. It's not, I'll cover a little bit, but you need to be a little bit better. Nothing is left unfinished. Nothing is left uncertain. And nothing is left for us to complete. The only requirement on our faith, on our part, is to have faith. That's it. It's to have faith. Paul writes in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, that Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. The resurrection is the assurance that what was accomplished on the cross is now fully applied to us. Because he rose, the work is finished. Is this not good news? This is the greatest news. Forgiveness is not something you are trying to earn. And I need everybody to hear that. You do not earn your salvation. You cannot work hard enough to gain your salvation. So for those of you who think, I got to work a little bit harder, I need to become a little bit better, or I need this absent from my life, it is not about your work. when we get into heaven, and let's just say Peter, he's guarding the gate, and he looks at you and he says, why should I let you in here? If you say anything other than because Jesus told me I could come in, then you are, in fact, relying on your works and not the complete, finished, total work of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's okay to not work. Come on, I need you to hear that. You are exactly as God needs you in this moment. What the difference is are you surrendered to Him or not? He can't work with you if you're not surrendered. If you want to rely on your works, you stay in your works. It's when we surrender to Him and step into His grace. It is by faith in Christ alone. So if you're in here this morning and you're feeling beat down, you're feeling tired, and you're feeling like I just don't have anything left to give, you need to come to the foot of the cross. Because it's in the presence of Jesus alone. Not by my work that I put together. Not how well the worship team does. Doesn't matter if these lights work. It doesn't matter if ABZ happens. It matters, am I relying on the grace of Jesus Christ alone? Where is your faith this morning? Is it in works or is it in Christ? And if you're thinking it's in works, then I submit to you, it should be in faith. Because He rose, the work is finished. If the work is finished, there's nothing more for you to do than to step into relationship with Him. And that, folks, is the good news. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean? Forgiveness is not something, I might have just preached all this because I was off notes and I don't have any idea. Hello? Forgiveness is not something that sounds like my alarm that I wake up to occasionally. Forgiveness is not something we are still trying to earn. It has been secured. It is final. Grace is not uncertain. Grace is not fragile. It is grounded in what Jesus has already done on the cross and beating death and overcoming the grave. It is grounded. And because He rose, we are not only forgiven, guess what? You are made alive. We are made alive when we step into relationship with Him. And that life is not something that you can produce on your own. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And if I asked across this room, before I continue, if I asked what your life was like before Christ, I would probably hear some stories that would maybe make some of us think, oh my gosh, that was a really bad person. Example A. If you knew who I was before Christ, I would probably not be your pastor today. It's probably a good thing I didn't grow up in New Sharon, Iowa. It was after stepping into a relationship with Jesus. Within 2 weeks, I was convicted of drinking. Some of you have heard this story. Through His power, I dumped a 20-pack of Budweiser down the drain after church on a Sunday afternoon. I took my can of chew, dumped it in the toilet. I took my cigarettes, soaked them in water, threw them in the trash. It is by His power alone that not once did I ever desire, want, or crave to go back to that way of life, because it is through His power that we step into new life. So do you need new life this morning? Because I have the answer of where you find it. And that's in Jesus, our Savior, the risen King. That's where you find new life. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in us to bring what was dead back to life. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now at work in each believer. It is at work in those who belong to Him. He brings new life, desire, and new direction. This is not just a message about the past. We're not just looking backwards this morning. It's a reality that shapes how we live right now, in this very moment. Our third point is the risen King secures the victory. The resurrection is not just another moment in the story. It's not just the next point in the story, the climax of the story. It is the moment where everything Jesus came to do is confirmed and completed. Done. Finished. When Jesus rose from the grave, it was not simply to return to life. It wasn't just, oh, I'm back, here we are. No, it was a declaration that sin had been fully paid for, that death had been fully defeated, and that every power that stood against us has been broken. Everything that has been stacked up against us has been broken. And what looked like the loss at the cross is later revealed in the resurrection to be complete victory. Because he did what he said he was going to do. Go back to our scripture. The angels reminded them what he said had to take place. Scripture speaks directly to this in Colossians chapter 2, 14 through 15, where we are told that he canceled the record of debt that stood against us by nailing it to the cross. And in doing so, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame because they no longer had a hold on the believer's life. The resurrection shows us that what was accomplished at the cross was not temporary. It was not uncertain. Instead, it's final. It's final. It's done. It's complete. The king didn't just die for you. He rose in victory over everything against you. So, yes, he died for us for our sins, but then he rose in victory over everything against us. Every sin has been paid for. Every debt has been canceled. Every accusation that once stood against you has been silenced. Not because you fixed your life, but because Jesus gave his life. This is the good news. Not that we try harder, not that we do better, but that Jesus has already finished what we could never complete on our own. And because he rose, that victory is not distant. It's not off in the past, we don't know. It is present, and it defines what is true about each of us. And it shapes each of us now who live before God. So where does this leave us? Where does this good news leave us today? Jesus came for the lost. He moved toward the cross, and he finished what he came to do. That's been what our last 3 weeks have been. The tomb is empty, the work is complete, and the victory is secure. This is the good news. But this is not just something that we believe. No, instead, this is something we believe. This is something that we respond to because it's possible, and you heard me talk about this last week, about this surrender. It's possible to believe that this is true, that all of this is true, and still keep Jesus at a distance. We can still believe that all of this is true, but Jesus, I'm not quite ready for you in my life yet. I think you need to stay back over there. And I just need to speak to those of you who are in that position this morning. Some of you are carrying things that you were never meant to carry, and I feel like I've been saying that for a couple of months now. Ever since I did my baggage where I stole all the people's bags and held them up here on stage, for those of you who were here would remember that. Some of you are carrying things you're not meant to continue carrying. Some of you are wrestling with things that you're not even supposed to wrestle with. Not just sin in a general sense, but things that have stayed with you longer than you thought they would. Things that have held you down, things that maybe choices that you regret, moments that you could wish that you could go back and change things. Does anybody have hindsight 2020? Anybody? Just me? Sometimes I'd like to go back and redo things because sometimes the flesh gets in the way. And that's not the Spirit of God leading me. That's my own selfish flesh. Maybe there are choices that we regret. There are moments that we wish that we could change. I want to fix this. I don't want this. Maybe it's a pattern that you continue to try to break, but you keep returning to it. And over time, these things, it stops feeling like something that you're struggling with. And the enemy will tell you, no, this is actually something that defines you. And we quit worrying about it because it's so hard to fight that we let it to start to define us. Guilt maybe starts to settle in. Shame starts to linger. And you learn how to function with this garbage in your life, even while knowing it is still there and it needs to be dealt with. But the resurrection today, the resurrection tells us something different. The resurrection gives us a hope that we wouldn't have without. It says what Jesus did was enough for the thing that you're carrying this morning. That's good news. That's good news. It says the power of sin has been broken. It says you are not stuck where you are. And then maybe there's some of us in here that maybe there's not obvious sin in our life, but it's a distance that we have between the Lord. You've been around this. Maybe you grew up in this. Maybe you know everything that I'm about to say and do. You've heard it. But there's never been a full surrender to Jesus in your life. It's not been something that you've been willing to surrender to. So the question is not just what happened at the tomb. The question is what is happening in us? What is happening in you? As I step into a relationship with Jesus, am I surrendering my life to Him and letting Him shape me in such a way that brings about new life, that brings about hope, that brings about purpose, that brings forgiveness, that gives me the ability to forgive people? So what is it that's happening in you today because the resurrection is final? Because the same Jesus who walked out of that tomb, He's still calling today. He's still calling out to you today. And that includes you. That includes your neighbor. That includes your people that you work with, the people that you go to school with. It includes you. He died for you. We are engaging our community for Jesus because people around us, people around you, are still searching and still need His grace. The resurrection is not just something we celebrate. And I knew there was going to come a point where I brought all of this together. Those altars in the wilderness, they speak of His faithfulness. If there are people that are still searching and still need His grace, the resurrection is the greatest altar that we can point to show of God's faithfulness in our lives. So what altar are you showing them? Because the resurrection is not something that we're just here to celebrate. It is something that we live out. This morning, I just want to talk to everybody here. I don't know necessarily everybody sitting in here today. I would love to have the opportunity to shake your hand before you leave today. But I want to talk to everybody because there may be some in here who I described at the very beginning that you're here and you're trying to figure things out and maybe you're wondering why you're even here today. This right now, these next couple of moments is exactly why you're here today. If the tomb is empty, that means sin has been paid for. That means that forgiveness is available. That means you don't have to carry what you've been carrying anymore. It's not about when you fix your life. It's not about when you do the right things. It's not when you figure everything out. It is right now. In this moment, right now. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, what does it say? You will be saved. So if everyone would you just bow your heads, close your eyes this morning? I don't want anybody to be embarrassed, not want to raise their hand because they're afraid somebody will see them. This is between you and the Lord. So if you're in here this morning and you know you need to give your life to Jesus, or you know that you need to come back to Him in relationship with Him, right now, this is your moment. This is your opportunity. And if any of that speaks to you, whether this is in a brand new way or this is in a fresh way, this is in a renewing way, right where you are, would you just raise your hand? Is there anybody in the room? Come on, praise the Lord. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Church, we're going to say a prayer together here. And I just want to stress, and for those of you who have been here, you hear me say this regularly. This is not about the words that we're saying. This is about the position and the surrender of your heart. It is about confessing that Jesus is Lord and believing that God raised Him from the dead. That is the requirement of faith. So, church, would you pray with me here? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross in my place, for going to the grave again in my place. Thank you for raising again, defeating sin, defeating death, defeating the grave, so that I may come to a relationship with you. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a new creation. Help me to live my life every single day in your name. We give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, I'm just going to say we had one new person raise their hands for salvation this morning, and there is a party in heaven going on right now for that one person that raised their hand. The greatest news that has ever impacted the world, that has tried to been squashed, has tried to been stopped, has tried to been hidden, and you cannot keep this good news from going forward. So here's the requirement I have of that one person this morning. You must tell somebody. You must tell somebody before the day is over that I gave my life to the Lord today. You must, because that's when it becomes real. So church, before we go into communion, I handed communion cups out, or we handed them out. We're going to go into just a moment of reflection before we do communion together. Feel free to stand, stay seated in your seat. This is a moment for you to reflect with the Lord as we think about Resurrection Sunday. Let's prepare our hearts before the Lord this morning.